The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
So this series, we started last week, we looked at this scripture, Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, he's talking to Peter, and he says to Peter in verse 18, he says, I will build my church, and we looked at that word last week, which meant ecclesia, which means a gathering of people for a specific purpose. So he said, I'm going to build my church, I'm going to gather people for a purpose. He wasn't talking about a building or a Sunday or a time or a service. Service or denomination. He said, I'm going to gather people for a purpose. And he said this, he said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell or the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I have new perspective on that verse because I talked to you last week and told you that when Jesus said this, he was standing on the outskirts of a city known as Caesarea Philippi, which was literally known as the gates of Hades, right? And yesterday I got new perspective that quite possibly, Jesus was standing in IKEA in Phoenix, Arizona when he said this, because that's where I ended up yesterday, while we waited on our plane to be rescheduled and rescheduled and rescheduled. And I don't like IKEA, and I know some of you do, and I'm offending you, and that's okay. But I just, as I stood there in IKEA, I thought of this verse, and I thought Jesus might have been in IKEA when he said, I'm gonna build my church, and the gates of hell will not come against it. And I was encouraged by that. And I couldn't wait to come home to my church, right? But that's not really, you know, what he meant. I get it. But I love this proclamation that the church is going to advance, that the church is going to grow, that nothing will be able to stop it. If you've been coming to Harvest for very long, you already know this, but we end pretty much every service with a blessing. And it's a blessing you find in the scripture. You've heard it. It's pretty normal. It says, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. But a couple of years ago, I added a line after that pastoral blessing at the end of our service, and you know what it is. It's just a couple of more words, because then after that, I say, Harvest, to help me out, go be the church, right? Go be the church. And today we're going to talk about what does it mean to be the church. It's not a building. It's not a day of the week. It's not an event, but it's people. I don't know if any of you remember that childhood song. Do you remember, you know, where they, you put your hands together, you know, and say, here's the church, here's the steeple, and you open it up and there's all the people. Do anyone remember that song? All right. Come on. I had to practice that. It's harder than it looks, at least for me. I don't know why it's so hard, but the church is people, right? It's not a building. It's none of that. The church is people, which means, and this is why we titled it, that means that we are the church, that you and I, that we make up this amazing thing called the church. And today we're going to look at a moment in Jesus' life that illustrates what it means to be the church. Now, I don't know if I've ever done this, really, but what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the same passage we looked at 2 weeks ago as we concluded our series, Quit Church. We're going to look at the same episode in the Bible, but in a different gospel. 2 weeks ago, we looked at this in the gospel of Luke. Today, we're going to look at it in the gospel of Mark. And one of the things I love about God's word, here's what it says about itself. It says that it's living and active. And I love that because you've probably had this happen if you've read God's word, is you'll read it one day, and because of what's happening in your life at that season, it speaks to you in a specific way. And you might read it a month or two later, the same exact passage, and it will speak to you in a different way. And I love that about God's word. And as I was studying this, I thought, you know, I hate to go back to the same story, but I just felt like the Spirit of God was helping us through this same episode to understand what it means to be the church. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, he's going to talk about a friend, this guy and his friends, and the guy's paralyzed, and his friends bring him to Jesus. It says in verse 1, a few days later, Jesus entered Capernaum, and the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them, by these four friends. What does it mean to be the church? Number one, it means that we carry the burden of the hurting. In this episode, there's a real need. There's a real people. There's real needs. And the same is true of us today. And when it comes to the hurting in Albuquerque Harvest, it's up to us to carry the weight. Do you believe that? It's up to us to carry the weight. See, I believe that the local church is the hope of the world. Now, obviously, that's because of Jesus in us, all right? I'm not trying to give us too much credit. But when Jesus decided to leave the earth, he sent a helpmate, the Holy Spirit, and then he said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to come against it. And if you look around our city, the city of Albuquerque, there's plenty of heavy lifting to go around. There's plenty of weight for the church to carry. I mean, I don't want to drag your spirit down this morning, but I mean, if we think about our city, we're number one in the nation for child hunger. Okay, so to be clear, that's not the stat you want to be number one in, right? I'd rather be number one, you know, happiest place, you know, in America, best city to live in. But we're number one in child hunger. We're known as the late term abortion capital of the nation, because in our city, you can abort your baby all the way up, 9 months, all the way up until the day they're supposed to be born. You can do that in our city. And if we, I mean, I don't even want to bring up crime, but there's so, I mean, it's just rampant in our city. And again, I'm not trying to bring you down. What I'm trying to do is say that what it means to be the church is that we carry the weight of the hurting. We carry the weight. And there's plenty of weight to carry in our city. Now, so I'm going to lift your spirits because I have some exciting news for you, that the church in New Mexico is beginning to carry the weight. There's a group that we are a part of, Harvest is a part of, called New Mexico Praise. As of today, that group is made up of 100 churches across New Mexico who have made a pact together that we are going to cover our state in prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so the way it works is that different churches adopt a day and we cover our state in prayer. So our day is the 30th. The 30th of every month is the day that Harvest has committed. We are going to pray for our city and for our state, and there's two or three other churches on our day and two or three on the next day, and every single day there are churches that are praying for our state. This started in January 1st, 2017. We took this scripture to heart, Jeremiah 29:7, that says to seek the peace of the city, to seek the welfare and the prosperity of the city where we have been sent. And I want to tell you today that God is answering the prayers that have been prayed since January 1st, 2017, to see transformation in our city. One of the areas that we're seeing a transformation is in our economy. When we began to pray in January of 2017, New Mexico was 49th in economy. We were the 50th on what's called the Family Wealth Index, meaning we're one of the poorest states, one of the hardest places to earn a good wage. But some good news came out just about a month ago. There was an article published that now is listing New Mexico as the number one in job creation and wage gains. Isn't that awesome? And this is, so here's what I'm showing you, is what it means to be the church is that we carry the weight. And what I love about this group, New Mexico Praise, is we said, we're going to carry the weight in some of these major categories, right? Economy and child hunger and crime. We're going to carry the weight. Since January 2017, we've also seen, because you remember we're the late term abortion capital, we've seen 3 abortion clinics in our state close. You can call it coincidence. You can say, they just ran out of money. What? Here's what I'm telling you, okay? We're going to own this, is the church has begun to take authority in the heavenly realms. Because you got to understand, the battle's not flesh and blood. The battle's not, you know, the doctor in the abortion clinic. It's not the policymakers. It's not any of that. It's a spiritual battle. And what's happening is that the church is beginning to carry the weight. I'll share one more with you. I'm part of a group of pastors that we meet monthly with our Albuquerque police chief, which, by the way, I hope you're praying for Chief Geyer and all of our APD officers. But we get to meet with him, and we just contacted his office and said, hey, could we come and have breakfast or lunch or coffee about once a month? And you just share with us the needs of the city. We'll take it back to the group of pastors, and we're just going to pray for you. We're just going to, whatever you ask for, things are happening, we're just gonna pray. And he shared something with us in our last meeting, because the newest crime report has come out for Albuquerque, and almost every single category, they're beginning for the first time in a long time to see a decrease in robbery and murder and violent crime, aggravated assault, burglary, motor theft, and on. We're seeing a decrease in double digits in most categories, with a 30% reduction in auto theft. Is that not amazing? Let's give a hand to our APD officers, right? And listen, I don't want to take anything away from Chief Geyer. He's doing an amazing job. I don't want to take anything away from our officers. They're doing an amazing job. But there's another power at work here. The church in Albuquerque is carrying the weight. We are collectively taking ownership of the weight in our city. But you know what's easier than carrying the weight? Complaining. And isn't the church sometimes the biggest complainers, right? What's easier than carrying the weight is, let's point the finger and let's blame and let's complain and let's talk about everything else that's wrong and what we should do or shouldn't do. But what does it mean to be the church? It means that we carry the weight. You know what's easier than carrying the weight? Criticizing, right? Listen, we just got done with the elections. I was not happy with a lot of what happened in our state, okay? But listen, it's not gonna do us any good at all to complain, because the ballot's been cast, the people are in, whatever's happened has happened. But I have really good news for you. God is still on the throne. There's no reason to criticize this party or that party or this guy or that girl. Listen, it's really, really easy to criticize. It's really easy, right? To be the Monday morning quarterback and say, well, they should have done this and they should have done that. Listen, what does it mean to be the church? It means that we carry the weight. You know what's easier than carrying the weight? Doing absolutely nothing. And for too long, that's what the church has been guilty of. We criticize, we complain, and then we sit back and we cross our arms and we don't participate. We don't carry the weight. It's time for the church to carry the weight in Albuquerque and across New Mexico and all of these categories of crime and violence and economics and family values and abortion and foster care. It's time for the church to carry the weight. I read this story. I read it again, right? I've been in this story a few times recently, and I had a revelation, and I don't know if it'll be a revelation for you or not, but I'm reading this and I asked myself this question: why did these four friends bring their friend to this particular church? I mean, there had to be other churches across, the city where they were. I mean, surely there are other places, where things were. Why did they choose this particular church? And the reason that they brought their hurting friend to this church is because this was the church where Jesus was. And when I had that revelation, I realized that on any given Sunday, there are 100 or more churches in Albuquerque where you could go and you could bring your friend to, where you could go and you could bring someone who is hurting. And I realized that we have a responsibility to steward the presence of God. So that when you show up at Harvest, you know, when you're bringing your friend, like these friends in Mark and in Luke, when you're bringing your friend, that you will bring them to a place where they can meet Jesus. In other words, what I'm telling you is, we're not interested in putting on a show. We're not interested in entertaining you. We don't have to have the newest, shiniest thing, right? I mean, I'll be honest. I go sometimes and I'll visit another church and they have, you know, the giant LCD screen that's like as big as our back wall, and it's better than, you know, the one at Cowboy Stadium. And I get a little bit jealous, and I'm like, you know, if I had that, I think we'd have more people. Which probably isn't true, but that's what pastors say. But listen, I mean, whatever happens with the stuff, it's just stuff. What our responsibility is to have Jesus, where people can meet him for the very first time. I prayed with our campus pastors this morning. We pray every Sunday morning. We do a conference call and we pray a prayer like this. We say, God, help us today to create an atmosphere where people can interact with a loving God, where they can hear your voice maybe for the first time, where we can bring our hurts and our pain to you, and you'll help us. So Harvest, what does it mean to carry the weight? One of the things would be this, is that to carry the weight, we contend for miracles. I like this word, contend. It means to strive, right? To struggle, to rival against. And if you notice here, Jesus didn't heal the man because of his faith, but because of his friends, right? His friends were the ones that were contending for the miracle for the paralyzed man, right? They were the ones, they carried him there. We haven't even gotten to the rest of it yet, but you know, they carried him up and they tore a hole in, and they lowered him down. They were contending. They were struggling for a miracle for their friends. I was talking with someone here at the church just about a week ago, and this particular person had an emergency in their life. Something going on. It was just a difficult situation. And I remember we were on the phone, and she said to me, she said, usually I'm the one praying with other people for their miracles. Usually I'm the one that has a lot of faith to believe that God can do something. But Pastor, I need your faith right now. I don't know if God's going to show up in my life. Have you ever been there? See, this is what I love about church. This is why it doesn't work as well when you only come, you know, 19 out of 52 Sundays, is because we need one another, because sometimes your faith is high and sometimes it's low, and we get this power that I like to talk about, right, of this combined faith, where we borrow faith from, where we contend for miracles. During our recent listening nights, I asked a lot of you a few questions. And one of the questions was, if you could look into the future a few years, what would Harvest look like? And I asked you to dream with me. And one person said, we will be a church that will be known for miracles. And man, when that was shared, I mean, it was like, it was prophesied, right? It was like, it was spoken out. My heart leapt within me. And I'm just curious today, church, who is willing to contend for miracles? Who's ready to help carry the weight? Because miracles aren't going to just happen. We're going to have to struggle. We're going to contend. We're going to carry the weight. We're going to have to believe and exercise our faith and believe for the impossible. Verse 4 continues, says, since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. And then they lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. What does it mean to be the church? Number 2, it means that we lead people to Jesus. This should be obvious, right? Like, what else is the church supposed to do? But listen, church, the church, often we get sidetracked in doing good, right? There's this struggle right now in our culture between, you know, the pendulum swings. On one side, it's just preach the gospel. And on the other side, it's social justice. And it seems like most churches find themselves in one camp or the other, but I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's both and. We have a responsibility to preach the gospel. We also have a responsibility to do the just things in our city, in our state. But listen, church, we cannot forget that our primary mission is to lead people to Jesus. You see, I'm sure that if you were to interview the paralyzed man the morning of this miracle, if you were to find him that morning and say to him, hey, what is your biggest need? I mean, he would look at you and, you know, maybe even scoff a little bit and like, can you not tell that I'm paralyzed? I mean, my biggest need, quite obviously, is that I need a healing in my body. I can't get up. I can't walk. But let's face it this morning. What good is it if the man can walk, but his soul is going to hell? Right? When he's lowered down into the presence of Jesus, the first thing that Jesus does is not a physical healing. The first thing that he does is he deals with his heart. I know. I mean, why did we have to go? Why do I have to say the hell word, right? Why do we have to, like, it's Sunday. We should be happy. I mean, can't we just kind of avoid that topic? Well, we really can't. Because what does it mean to be the church? It means that we lead people to Jesus. We cannot forget that our number one responsibility is to help people find a personal relationship with Jesus. Not just a church to attend, not just an event to go to, not just a group of friends, but a relationship with Jesus. I mean, let's face it this morning. What good is our food pantry if people don't find Jesus? What good is full bellies if people aren't finding Jesus? What good is trunk or treat we just celebrated if people aren't finding Jesus? What good is extravaganza if people aren't finding Jesus? Which, by the way, I could tell you stories from each of those of people who have found Jesus. So I'm not picking on those, but it's the question we have to ask. What good are the things that we're doing if we're not leading people to Jesus? I'll ask one more question. What good are Sunday morning services if people aren't finding Jesus? What good is it if we're just getting together and drinking coffee and eating, you know, chocolate chip cookies and high-fiving one another and meet and greet and, you know, going out and feeling good about ourselves if we're not leading people to Jesus? I mean, our greatest responsibility is this thing that we call the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says it this way. Jesus gave us these instructions. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. What does it mean to be the church? It means we lead people to Jesus. In fact, I don't know if we can call ourselves a church if we're not doing that. I mean, if we're not leading people to Jesus, we're just doing social justice. We're just creating community groups. We're not fulfilling the Great Commission. Here's the problem often in church. Here's why often the church pulls back from this responsibility is that often, almost always actually, reaching the lost gets really messy. When you reach the lost, you're finding people who have deep-rooted problems and addictions and issues, and it just gets messy. And I was reading in Proverbs. I read this verse. I got to show it to you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. It says, without oxen, a stable stays clean. Right? In other words, right? If you don't want a mess in your stable, the easiest way to keep it clean is to not put an animal in there, right? The moment you put an animal in, it gets messy, right? They start pooping all over the place and messing up the hay, and, right? Are you following this? The easiest way to keep a house not messy is you don't live in it. You don't bring people into it. But the proverb continues and it says, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. In other words, you got to put up with a little bit of mess in the stable because that's how you have the big harvest out in the fields. In other words, if you want a clean church, then don't have people come who need Jesus. Just cater to all the Christians. Just create a social club. Just get people together and pat yourselves on your back and make yourself feel good. But what does it mean to be the church? It means that we lead people to Jesus. Verse 6, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's talking about Jesus. He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? What does it mean to be the church? Well, number 3, it means that we're going to have some critics. It means we're going to have some people that are going to criticize the things that we're doing. Study the ministry of Jesus, and you'll find there was always a critic nearby. There was always someone nearby watching and judging and pointing. And here's what I know, is that there's two types of critics. There's an external critic, and there's an internal critic. And I'll just talk to you for just a minute about it. See, external critics, that's those that are not part of the family, right? They're on the outside looking in, and they're criticizing. And I'll just tell you, and this is just me, maybe it's a spiritual gift, I don't know. External critics don't bother me that much, right? It's just kind of, you just kind of let it roll off, right? As the wise theologian T. Swift says, haters gonna hate, right? Just shake it off, all right? During a Convoy of Hope, this last June, we're setting up for the event. We're expecting, 5,000 people to come. We're getting ready, truckloads of supplies, and we're running all over the place. And I had an amazing team helping us to do this. And one of the team members comes to me, and she's got a phone in her hand, and it's on speakerphone. And you can tell by just the tone. I didn't have to know what they're talking about or who it was. You could just hear, as they're walking up to me with this speakerphone, and I thought, oh my goodness, whoever that is, they are not happy right now. And they walked up to me, and all this still, they're just ranting and raving. And the person who brought it to me is like, Pastor Jason, we have dealt with this lady for over an hour. She's not happy about Convoy of Hope Albuquerque, and she is demanding to talk to the person in charge. I'm so sorry. We have tried to keep this from you. We know you have a lot to do, but we don't know what else to do. Will you please take care of this? And I took the phone and I kept it on speakerphone. I said, hello, my name is Jason. I'm in charge of Convoy of Hope Albuquerque. What do you want? She's an external critic. I didn't feel like I had to give her much, right? And she said to me, don't talk to me that way. I said, what do you mean? You've been demanding to talk to the person in charge. I am in charge. What do you want? She said, don't talk to me that way. And I hung up on her. I said, haters gonna hate. All right. Here's why the external people don't bother me that much is I heard some wisdom. I'll share it with you today. If you wrestle with a pig, you both get muddy, but only the pig likes it. And I just wasn't ready to jump in the mud that day, right? Like, listen, roll around in it all you want, but I am not coming in there because you know what? I've already learned that I can't make everyone happy, so I resigned a long time ago that I'm not going to try. My job is not to make you happy or the external critics happy. So here's what we do is we show love and grace. I should have shown a little more grace. I apologize. So let's talk about internal critics. See, in Mark 2, the critics are actually inside the church. The critics in here, they're not external critics, they're internal critics. And I'll just make an observation that inside critics often do more sitting than carrying. We talked about this. What does it mean to be the church? It means we carry the weight, right? What are these leaders of the church doing in Mark chapter 2? It specifically says that they are sitting. And often internal critics are doing more sitting than caring. Often those that are the least involved have the most opinions. Have you observed that? Those that are sitting tend to know what everyone else should do. Tend to know what we could do to make it better, right? Those that complain are often the least invested. So here's the warning for us today. If you sit at Harvest or any church for too long, you will probably develop a critical spirit. It's the natural byproduct of not participating. We get a critical spirit when we're not helping to create the outcome. When we're sitting and we're judging and we're criticizing, we just naturally get critical. So church, if you don't want a critical spirit, if you want a voice at Harvest, here's what you do. Here's some things. You go to Discover class We have it the first Sunday of every month at 11 o'clock, and you figure out if this is the church for you and how you can participate. And after Discover, you join a dream team. That's just our language for all of the amazing people that show up early and stay late and push buttons and play instruments and change diapers and play with kids and secure our parking lot and sweep the floor. You join, you participate, because you'll be less critical when you are helping to create the final outcome. Here's how you get less critical, and I have no agenda to this, but I'll just tell you, here's how you get less critical. You pay your tithe. I'm telling you, when you participate, right? When you invest, you look at something different than when you are simply on the outside. Think about it this way. Aren't we more critical when we go out to eat of someone else's cooking than we are of our own when we stay home? Right, you stay home and make fettuccine Alfredo, and it's mediocre, right? But you don't complain because you made it, right? Or your wife made it, and you better not complain, or you'll be in trouble, right? But if you go out to eat, the standard goes up, right? All of a sudden, you didn't help to create that, and so it's much easier to point and to judge and to criticize and to complain. So the way we protect our hearts from this critical spirit is that we join, right? We participate. Verse 8, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. Right? So he's talking about them being critical. And so it says that Jesus knew this is what they were thinking. And so he said to them, shame, shame, I know your name. That's in my version. I don't know. He said, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat and walk? Number 4, what does it mean to be the church? It means that we never forget that the point is life change. We never forget the point is life change. See, the reason that these Pharisees and religious leaders are so critical is that they began to think that the point of church was to sit around and to regurgitate religious information and to police everyone with their arbitrary rules. And Jesus gets all up in their business, and he sets the record straight. Listen, the point of church is that the lame would walk. The point is that the blind would see and the dumb would speak, and that those who are in bondage would be set free, and that marriages would be healed, and that addictions would be broken, and that you would discover your purpose, and that brokenness would be restored, and that lives would be changed forever. Do you believe that? That's actually the point of church. But we have to be careful, because comfortability is our enemy. Comfortability, the desire that we have to just be comfortable. When we get comfortable, we get lazy and we forget the point, and we get grumpy, and we don't like it when we get our comfort disrupted. Verse 10, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. Number 5, what does it mean to be the church? It means that we go home different than we came. It means that while we are in the presence of God, he does something inside of us, he changes us, and we go home different than we came. Jesus looks at the man, he forgives his sins, he heals him, and then he says, listen, get up, go home, right? It's not a place that you camp and you stay, but you are changed in the presence of God, and now you go home. What happened in church in this story was good, right? He's healed, he's forgiven. It's a good thing. But the point, what Jesus is saying here when he says, get up and go home, is it can't just stay here. The point is that our lives are changed. In other words, church is not the end, rather, it's the beginning. Church is not the end, but the beginning. That's why we say at the end of a service that we would call a church service, we say, now go and be the church. Because you didn't accomplish the thing that Jesus set out to by coming to church. You accomplish it when your life is changed and you carry that out with you. Most nights, Lisa falls asleep before I do. And often, you know, she'll fall asleep. And when I come in, you know, I'll notice that most nights her phone is either on the bed beside her or laying on her or, you know, somewhere nearby, and it's not plugged in. And so being the loving, awesome, patient husband that I am, I take her phone and I plug it in for her. I find it because if it's not plugged in, then it won't be charged the next day. And then when I call, she can't ignore my call, right? I plug it in, right? You see, we come on Sundays to charge our spiritual batteries, right? You come to get plugged in to the source, right? To be comforted and encouraged and taught. And you come to get your battery charged. But once the battery is charged, the idea is you have somewhere to go. You got to go home. You got to go to work. You got to go to school. You got to go into the west side of Albuquerque. You got to go and embody the change and allow that change, that character, the character of God that's developing in you, to now be on display in front of those around you. We should leave different than we come. Verse 12 says, he got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. They praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. This is the last thing. What does it mean to be the church? It means that other people see Jesus in us and they're drawn to him. They see the work of Christ inside of us and they're drawn into that relay. Here's it. Just think. Just ask yourself rhetorical questions this morning. Just consider this morning. Can my friends tell a difference since I've surrendered my life to Jesus? Do I look different? Do I act different? Do I talk different? You know, could someone that knew me pre-Jesus tell now that I've had an encounter with him? Ask yourself this morning, especially believers, you've done this for a while. Am I growing and maturing, or have I become stagnant? Ask yourself, is my life drawing other people to Jesus? Harvest, our lives should be changed by God's Spirit. They should be changed by his word. They should be changed by the Holy Spirit. We've quoted this verse almost every week this year, that the Holy Spirit works deeply and gently within us. We should be changed to the point that people notice. And then we leave this building, we have to understand that we are the church. That we didn't just go to church, but now we are the church. So I want to give you a chance this morning to have an encounter with Jesus. The good news about encounters with Jesus is they don't take very long, right? The roof opens and the guy just comes down and he forgives him and he heals him. He has this amazing encounter. I'll just tell on myself this morning. We were stuck in the airport for 6.5 hours yesterday and they changed our flight 10 different times. And every time they changed it, it was a different reason. And, you know, I just felt like they're lying to me because, like, one time it was crew and another time it was maintenance and another time the flight was delayed. I'm like, which one is it? I mean, where? And I finally said, where is the airplane that's going to take me from Phoenix to Albuquerque? And the guy literally said, I don't know. I said, who does? Who knows where the airplane is? And I have a little bit of an anger issue, and it came out, and I just felt it. I felt my blood pressure going up. I felt my voice, my tone was increasing, you know, and I wanted to just unleash on him. I wanted to be like, I am a pastor, and I have to be in church tomorrow. And I just didn't think that'd be a good testimony of Jesus, right? So I walked away. I just walked away. I told Lisa, we got on the plane. I said, I think I need to call my counselor and work on my anger a little bit. Like, I think I need to go to church tomorrow. Here's what I realized. I was like, I need Jesus. Do you ever have those moments? I actually hope that you do. The moment that we stop realizing that we need Jesus is a really, really dangerous place. I'm just telling you, I don't know if I'm hurting you or helping you by telling you that your pastor needs Jesus, but I'm just telling you, I just had a moment where I'm like, oh my goodness, I am a wreck without Jesus. So I just want to create a moment today where we can have an encounter with Jesus. so that we leave different than how we came today. That's the point of church, right? What does it mean to be the church? It means that we're changed because Jesus is here. Why don't you stand where you are this morning? It's early. It's 10 after 10, all right? So I tell you that because you don't have to stress out and like, listen, nobody is in the restaurants yet. You're still going to get ahead of them, all right? It's going to be all right, I promise you. Would you do this with me? Could we take a few minutes and just, I'm going to have our worship team lead us in this song they're playing. Could we just worship for a few moments? Would you open your heart to God? Can I just announce our theme verse over you again? It says, God can do anything. I don't know what you need today, right? I need help with my anger. I don't know what you need, but God can do anything, far more than you could ask or imagine or request in your wildest dreams. And here's how he does it. He's not pushy. He doesn't push us around. He does it by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Could we just create that atmosphere? Could we just, I know we had that time over service, we call it worship, but could we open our hearts again? Could we just worship and invite the presence of God into this place and into our own lives? And whatever it is that you're carrying today, whatever, you know, that it is that it's happening, could you just ask God, can I leave different than I came today? Could I experience what the man in Mark experienced? Could I experience the healing and the love and the forgiveness and the grace and the hope that comes only when we have an encounter with Jesus? Not when we go to church, but when we have an encounter with Jesus. Who's with me this morning? Will you press in for 5 minutes? Would you do that this morning? Worship team, help me. Let's create this atmosphere. Let's just worship. Come on.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.